We're very focused on the cross, aren't we? It almost seems sacrilegious to say, oh, we're too focused on the cross. But the cross is probably, without a doubt, the central image of Christianity in the minds of our culture and our world. It's jewelry. You know, if you see a cross, in fact, there are places where Muslims have taken over churches, and so they actually got used to the expecting that if there was a cross on top of a building, that meant it was a mosque in Europe, because things got so crazy. But it was because it was always a church, and they just took over the church. And so we have this image of the cross. Nobody wears, I guess maybe somebody might have a little bit of James Avery that's a manger, you know, that they wear, but nobody normally wears a manger around their neck. Nobody goes around with an empty tomb either, and I've tried to figure out how we could make the empty tomb more an image that we use, but the cross is just very simple. I think the cross also works because it's a relatable image. We're all going to die. We all have experienced death in our lives in one way or another. Some of us even today aren't here because at their hospital. Vicky's mom is in hospice, and they're coming to grips with the fact that her death is going to come. We fight it, but yet death comes. And I think part of why the cross resonates is because it's such a relatable image. It's also an image of suffering and pain, and who doesn't have suffering and pain in their life? So we can relate to it in that sense. The difficulty, though, is when we focus so much on the cross. I mean, and even in, you know, the arguments, oh, you know, that church, they have Jesus on the cross, but, you know, our cross is empty because Jesus isn't on the cross anymore. We're still arguing and fighting over the cross. But the cross is not the central image of Christianity. Had Jesus only died, where would we be? In fact, if you go and you look at the other major religions, nobody really disputes the idea of Jesus. They don't even dispute the idea that Jesus died on the cross or died in some way. If they dispute that he died, went to the cross, they won't dispute the idea that he died. Had Jesus gone to the cross and only died and died for our sins and been buried and you could dig up his bones today, what would that mean? What would that mean for us? Would we still have salvation? Well, Paul, in writing to the Corinthians, he's talking to them about why some people will deny that there is a resurrection of the dead, that the dead will someday rise up out of the ground and live again, not as zombies, but as new creations. And some people at the time were proclaiming faith in Christ, but also they were saying, but we're not going to be born again. We're not going to rise again. We're not going to be resurrected. We die and we stay dead. And so Paul, in talking to them, he says that if they make this claim that there is no resurrection of the dead, then not even Jesus has risen again. And he says, if Christ has not been raised, then our preaching is in vain and your faith is in vain. We are even found to be misrepresenting God, because we testified about God that he raised Christ, whom he did not raise, if it is true that the dead are not raised. For if the dead are not raised, not even Christ has been raised. And if Christ has not been raised, your faith is futile and you are still in your sins. Then those also who have fallen asleep in Christ have perished. If in Christ we have hope in this life only, we are of all people most to be pitied. Now, he's using an argument, but the basic of it is, if we don't believe that people will rise again, then Jesus didn't even rise again. And if Jesus hasn't risen, then what are we all doing here? It's pointless. Not only is it pointless, but we are actually pitiable. We should be pitied. We should have people say, oh, the poor person, they've lost their senses. They're a Christian. Because not now, what happens? What does happen, though? I mean, the ISIS people over in Syria, they're not saying, oh, those silly Christians, they think he rose again. No, they're chopping off Christians' heads, aren't they? And in Egypt, what are they doing? They're blowing up churches, aren't they? But if Jesus hasn't risen from the dead, if he's still buried, then what are we doing? It's pointless. The focus isn't supposed to be on the cross. Yes, Jesus went to the cross and he died. God died for our sins. But that's not the victory. That's succumbing to the power of death. That is paying the price for the sins. If Jesus stays dead, as Paul says, we're all still in our sins. Yeah, okay, he paid for it, but we're still going to pay for it ourselves. Paul is saying that the real focus, the real power, is the fact that Jesus rose again. That he rose from the dead, and we have a hope in him, not just that our sins will be forgiven, but we'll die and go to hell, but that our sins will be forgiven, and when we die, yet when we die, we will still live. And those who believe in him will never die, but that we will be risen again. Even if we die in this earth, someday we will rise again. The focus isn't on getting to heaven, it's on heaven coming to earth. When you go to the last chapter of the book of Revelation, it's about heaven coming down to earth and people being risen again in new life and new bodies. That is the focus. It isn't on the cross. The cross is the shame. The cross is the sorrow. The cross is the destruction of life. The cross is basically the failure of Jesus in the eyes of humanity, in the eyes of his disciples who all ran away. But when Jesus rose from the dead, now he rose in power. In Philippians, Paul says that because Christ died on the cross and humbled himself by becoming obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross, therefore God has highly exalted him and bestowed on him the name that is above every name. That at the name of Jesus, every knee shall bow and every tongue confess that Jesus is Lord. Now, I've thought, and maybe you've thought this, that someday we'll all bow. When Jesus returns, we'll all bow. But what Paul is saying to the Philippians is, at the name of Jesus today, every knee should bow. And every tongue should confess. Because Jesus has had the victory. God has already exalted him. He had the victory on the cross. He defeats sin on the cross. But not only that, when he rises from the tomb, he defeats death. And because of that, God has exalted him. And in Matthew chapter 28, verse 18, we're all familiar with go and make disciples. But what does it say right before that? All authority on heaven and on earth, in heaven and on earth, has been given to me. Now, he's not saying someday all authority will be given to me. He's saying all authority today in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Then he says, go, therefore, make disciples. But the focus, the power of our going is in the fact that all authority has already been given to him. Because he rose again, he has all authority. He has all the victory. But we look around and we don't quite see it, do we? It reminds me, I was really close to adding a video clip, but it was just too long. There's a movie I love. It's a slow kind of movie, but I love it. It's called Searching for Bobby Fischer, and it's about a little boy who's a chess prodigy. And at the very end of the movie, he goes up into a final match against another child who his instructor, his coach, has actually said, I don't know that you can beat him either. He's a good player. And they go through this drama of first Josh loses his queen, and then through a couple of struggles he gets the other guy's queen, and they almost become evenly matched, and they're making all these fast moves and fast moves and fast moves, and finally the other kid makes a move, and there's something about it. Josh is about to move, and then he stops, and he looks at the board, and he looks, and his teacher is watching on a video screen. He says, that was a mistake. And he starts saying all the moves that Josh is going to need to do. He says, victory is there. It's right there. It's 12 moves away. Now, I don't know about you. I do play a little bit of chess. I'm about a 2 moves away kind of guy. All right? This little Josh kid, he's kind of like Bobby Fischer. The movie's about finding the next Bobby Fischer. It's not really about Bobby Fischer. But He can play a game in his mind with no pieces on the board. You know, it's crazy. And he starts looking and he's looking and he's looking and he's looking and finally he sees it. Now he's a compassionate kid. He doesn't like the fact that all these other kids lose whenever he beats them. So he sticks his hand out to offer a draw. And the other kid laughs him off. What are you doing? Josh says, I'm offering you a draw. I will share the championship with you. And the other kid says, what are you talking about? I'm winning. And Josh says, no, you've already lost. You just can't see it yet. And the kid says, look at the board. Josh says, I have. Take the draw. Now the kid says, move. And I love it. There's this little scene where the little guy that's playing Josh just kind of lifts his eyebrow like, are you sure you want me to move? And then from then on, he takes a pawn, he takes the other kid's pawn, and they start moving, 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 moving. Checkmate. The other kid has to throw his king down and walk away. I think a lot of times we're like that other boy. Jesus is like that Josh character. He's looking at the board. We're looking at the board. We don't see it. He does. Because if you look today, what is victory today? Where is the power today? We still have loved ones who die today. We don't know what they experience, but we know what we experience. We experience the loss of their life. We experience the loss of their presence. In chapter 15 here, 1 Corinthians, Paul even quotes the scripture, death is swallowed up in victory. Oh, death, where is your victory? Oh, death, where is your sting? And we can say, I know exactly where death's sting is. It's in my heart. I feel it. How can you say, where is your sting? Where is your victory? Because I feel it. In the ones I miss and the ones I'm going to say goodbye to someday. We still feel the sting of death. What Paul is saying, though, right before that, in verse 54, he says, when the perishable puts on the imperishable, and the mortal puts on immortality, then shall come to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. So yeah, we haven't experienced it in our lives still because we're still perishable. We haven't put on the imperishable. But Jesus Christ, when he rose from the dead, he had put on the imperishable, the first fruit of all of the creation, of all the resurrection, a glorified body that we will someday become like. And we look at the world today, and what is winning? What is victory? Winning kind of reminds me of Charlie Sheen. He was an actor. Well, I guess he still is an actor. But a couple years ago, he was living high on life, right? He had the number one rated television show on CBS, and was doing all this stuff. And he'd go and have these just lavish things that he would say and do. And finally, they had to get rid of him on that show because he was too out of control. And he just kept on saying, I'm winning, winning. What am I doing? I'm winning. You know, look at your house. Look at my house. My house is bigger. Winning. This was how he was living. This is how he was going. And this is how people often think, don't we? What's winning? Bigger, better, shinier, flashier. Winning. And yet, what did we come to find out? And he was carrying within his body death. We all are carrying within our bodies death, but he literally has HIV, which is a death sentence. We've got lots of, course, everybody's already walking around with a death sentence, but it just feels a little different in you, doesn't it? I don't know if you've ever known anybody with HIV. It used to be quite stigmatized. Now people can have very normal lives. But I tell you what, you shake hands with somebody that you know they have it in their body, and you start thinking subconsciously, do I have any cuts in my fingers? Do they have cuts in their fingers? It's carrying death around with you. It is. And all of his flashiness, all of his high living, all of his parties, all of his I'm winning, no, he's losing. But in our culture, he looks like he's winning, doesn't he? And we're surrounded by it. And it's not just the culture, it's the church. What is winning in the church? What is winning in the Christian life? Nobody would say you're winning in the Christian life if you find that you have leprosy and then you're driven away from everybody. Nobody says, oh, you're really winning in the Christian life if you lose your job and you have to live off of other people's charity. Nobody would say, oh, wow, Jesus is great, isn't he? No, we all start to say, what's wrong with Jesus? Why is he not taking care of me? Why don't I have more things? The message that resonates with everybody is Jesus wants you to have more stuff. And Jesus wants you to be wealthy. And Jesus wants you to be healthy. And Jesus wants you to have everything you want. And that's successful. That works. But that's when we're looking at the board and we think we've got a winning game going on here. But Jesus, he says, you're losing. You've lost. Let me offer you, in Josh it was a draw, but Jesus says, let me offer you life. Let me offer you life. And we say to him, no, I look at the board, I see it, I'm winning. I don't want your life. I've got it, look at me. And he says, no, you can't see it. I see it, take life. And what do we say? We either say, yes, I'll take life, or we say, move. A lot of people every day, we say, move out of the way, Jesus, get over, out. I'm making my decisions. I'm living life the way I want to live. I'm going to do it my way. But the end is defeat and death. The end is destruction. And so, yeah, right now it doesn't look like victory. And we struggle with the idea that death has lost its sting when we still feel the sting. But because Jesus rose from the dead, we have life in him. Not someday in the future, but today. All authority has been given to him today. But we often don't live like it, do we? We're not living in faith. Faith is the assurance of things hoped for. The best way I understand faith is living today based on your hope for tomorrow. So for instance, if you're going to go out and buy a lottery ticket, if you have faith in your lucky numbers, what you do is you go out and you buy a sports car today for that lottery ticket you're going to buy tomorrow that's going to be played next week. That's faith. Let me tell you something. I don't have faith in my lottery numbers. I don't have faith in my little fortune cookie numbers. Right? But that's faith. Faith is, I so believe in what I have here, I'm going to act on it today even though I don't see it yet. My faith in the lottery means I'm going to spend the money today because I'm going to get it next week. I don't suggest it. I'm not offering you advice now. But what I am saying is, faith in Jesus Christ is the exact same, except it's a little bit of a better bank. Because of my faith in Jesus for my hope in the future, I'm going to live today based on that. And my invitation to you today is to live today based in the hope of the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Because he rose, we know that if we believe in him, we will rise too. He has gotten all authority, and he has called us to be his followers. And so what we're going to do is, at this time, the musicians are going to come up, and we're going to sing a couple of songs. We're going to sing a couple more songs about Jesus' resurrection. And I want you, if you're a believer, and if you have placed your faith in Jesus Christ and you follow him, I want you to sing these songs out and mean them. Believe them. Know them to be true. But because Jesus did rise, we have life today. Even if it looks like we're losing, we're winning in him, not in ourselves. If you've never placed your faith in Jesus Christ, may I suggest that inside you might feel like you're dead. I know you don't feel that way, you feel alive, but you know, I mean, we all know. I think even Charlie Sheen, for all of his bluster was really just trying to hide the fact that inside he was losing. That every day he had to wake up again and he was still himself. And no amount of drugs, no amount of alcohol, no amount of women, no amount of money, no amount of houses, no amount of fame can fill up the void of a life. And I think he knew that. He didn't know the answer. Maybe he didn't want the answer. But we feel that death in us, don't we? When we know everything we do seems to come out wrong. And I want to invite you to believe in Jesus Christ. These songs, as we sing them, if you don't necessarily know them, I want you to listen to the words and consider and ask yourself this question. Is this true? Is this true? And if it is, I want to invite you to start walking in a life of faith with Jesus Christ. Amen.